This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of In Focus, heard weekends on KTBB 97.5 FM and, of course, KRWR, the Team 92.1 FM. You can join us each week as we interview those who help Tyler and Longview residents make their lives better. As always, you can reach out with your thoughts on the show or any topic you would like us to consider airing at ktbb.com/infocus. This morning, I am pleased to welcome representatives of MAD, that is Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Kathy and Tammy are here to talk this morning about some of the things that are coming up this summer and about the 100 deadliest days, which we are currently in the middle of. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Let's start this off. First off, let's give your URL out.
www.madd.org.
Way to go, Tammy. Thank you. She said, Kathy was like, I hope you know that. One of the topics that's interested me recently is the lowering of the blood alcohol content. I think it goes from 08 to 05. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay.
So there's only one state that actually has it as law as of right now, and that is Utah. So they have made the change to 0.05, but we have several other states that are working on that. We're trying to pass legislature in several different states, and we support that just because we realize that you are actually impaired before that 0.08 mark. And so we feel like the law should reflect that.
Let's talk about that. The humor isn't lost on me that it's Utah and there would be a bunch of wagons being pulled over at 0.05. But having said that, let's talk about that for just a moment, because there's a point where you're over the limit. And I've tried this myself over the years to see, like with a breathalyzer, just to see at home, mm-hmm. you know, what it is. And honestly, at 0.08, I'm feeling pretty good. You're too good to drive, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a fair number that it's at. The argument has always been that we don't want to go so far that grandma can't have a glass of wine at dinner. I don't know if that's an overused cliche, but I guess there's some validity to it. At what point do you begin impairment?
I can answer that. When I was a minor imposition instructor a long time ago for MAD, and your actual impairment, your visual impairment, begins at as early as a 0.02. Now, you're sitting here talking
your visual impairment.
For your visual impairment as early as a 0.02. Now, the
beer goggles? I'm not trying to trivialize it, but like what degree? When you say your visual is impaired, like distance, like
so reaction, your distance vision, your action, the vision that you need to drive down that road and not hit somebody mm-hmm. starts being affected as early as a 0.02.
Okay.
Now, the vision that you need while we're sitting here talking to each other, not moving, you know, just glancing around, that doesn't get affected until about a 0.10.
So it's your body's ability to transmit the data from what you're seeing to your physical dexterity. Okay, that makes sense. And 0.2, so basically your first drink.
Yes.
At the completion of probably your first drink.
Yes.
So I'm 190. I weigh 190. 5'10", 190. Ding, ding. You know, whatever. what would it take me to get to 0.05? Two drinks? Three drinks?
There are many factors in that. Your weight. Have you eaten before you started? Help me here. Your gender. There are a bunch of different factors that weigh into
men and women.
Digest
alcohol, or what? It's not called digesting, but it's called whatever.
Metabolizing.
Yes. Thank you so much. Metabolize alcohol at different levels.
Yes.
Are women more susceptible to higher BAC levels?
Women usually are impaired sooner than
men. Okay. Usually probably because of just size?
Yeah.
Okay. Because what do I call the guys? Corn-fed guys around here. And so, you know, that's, you know, Bubba, 6'4", 230. you know, can probably, I would think, have a couple of beers and be okay. But that's not the theme of it here. I want to, this year I've also witnessed yet again these deadly crashes.
Yes.
With these young people, and not just young people, but it seems like every time I read about a DUI crash, a lot of times they've hit cars with multiple passengers.
Correct.
Yes. You know, they just, I don't know if they're just completely, you know, their vision is lost, or what could be the case. But obviously it's a problem. And I certainly think I'm one that I don't think you have to abstain from everything in your life, but you certainly need to be very responsible, and not only to yourself, but to you guys. Like if I'm driving down the road, Kathy, I don't want to leave your daughter motherless.
Right.
You know, so tell me, tell me, do you think Texas will incorporate the 0.5? 0.05?
Yeah, I don't see that happening anytime soon. Maybe on the long run, if the rest of the states get behind it. But really, as we just recommend as an agency that people, if they're going to drink, do not drive, no matter how much you've had or how little you've had. Just make sure you have a plan before you go. So that way, because alcohol does affect people differently. So there's too many factors to try to calculate whether or not you're safe or not. So we just say, even if you're having one drink, don't drive. Have someone else use that ride share. That's just the way to keep you the safest.
Can you wait? Like, if say you had one drink with dinner. Okay, like seriously one drink. And guys, I'm not saying that equals four. I'm saying you seriously had, let's say you go to Chili's, okay? And you have the 3 for $10. So you have chips, a burger, and fries. I think three you would get. And one beer. Are you saying you would, like, advise people at that point to go ahead and have a DD?
We would. I know that that's not legally impairing, but, I mean, if that person takes some kind of medications, then it could interact. So just, there's so many things that could, we can't just say, hey, one or two is okay, because we don't know that person's medical history or what size they are or whatever. So we just say plan while you can. And so if there's two adults, like a couple are going to Chili's, then we advise that one person not drink and the other person can have really several drinks, and that one person that's not drinking, they be the driver. And then maybe next time they go out on a date night, they switch. It's just, you're guaranteed that your driver's going to be safe and sober.
You bring up a really interesting point to me, which will segue into what I was speaking about before we got on the show earlier. Mm-hmm. But it's prescription drugs and their interaction with alcohol. So as a society, I would say we've been on the serotonin inhibitors for 2 decades, but largely, like, huge opioid problems, huge. I don't think the serotonin inhibitors are, I don't think people abuse those. I'm not sure. I don't know. I've never heard of anyone abusing Prozac. I mean, I don't I don't know what would happen. I guess you just go to sleep.
Probably.
But does alcohol affect, does the effect of alcohol intensify if you are on, like, these types of medications or any types of medications?
Yeah, so we would call that poly use. So as far as a prescription bottle, most of the time if your doctor gives you a prescription, it has that warning label.
Correct.
That says do not take with alcohol, or it just says do not operate heavy machinery, which is not a, you don't have a bulldozer in your backyard. They're talking about your car because that is heavy machinery.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I obviously, I wasn't going to jump on a bulldozer. but I get that now. That is heavy machinery.
Right.
That makes sense. You know, they should probably change that.
They should, yeah.
That would be pretty responsible in and of itself. Don't use this medication and drink and drive. Because
I mean, really, any motor vehicle, including boats, jet skis, four-wheelers, any of that could be life-altering if they got into a crash.
And even OTC prescription, if it shows do not, it'll say may cause drowsiness. Mm-hmm. It's the same because you're putting two depressants together.
Correct. That's what I was, most of them are depressants. You know, codeine or anything you would take for pain related is going to suppress all those inputs so that you don't feel the pain. Well, you don't feel the gear shift maybe too. I don't know if no one has a gear shift anymore, but that's interesting because we have so many people. I mean, I'm convinced that I don't want to go off on a rabbit hole here, but I'm convinced that just in our public water system that we consume a lot of serotonin inhibitors and opioids.
People dumping them.
Well, not only that, it's gross. People passing them.
Yeah.
And then that we regenerate all that water. We don't really make new water. God makes water, and that's about it. We need more. So, you know, we make water and we reuse this water. And the filtering, from what I understand, doesn't take out those things. It takes out different, you know,
bacteria
and stuff like that. And then they put chlorine and fluoride and all that stuff in it. But I don't even drink the water out of the faucet anymore. And I'm not a real weird guy. I'm convinced that it's just, there's nothing we can do about it. So we're already on those. So when you add alcohol to that mix, it's probably just going to magnify your problem.
Correct.
Well, I think if you're listening and you're on medication, take that into effect. I mean, take that into consideration, because it could affect you more negatively than you realize. And I've had friends where the alcohol reacts. Are you warm?
No. I'm
okay.
Good.
It's kind of warm in here. I don't mean to.
I just saw the fan and I was like, where is it?
I'm sorry. It's very warm in here this morning. I've seen friends that had alcohol react to their prescriptions and then not realize it. You know, they've just been out naively having a good time. And
they're not thinking about it.
They're not thinking about it because they're not overdoing it.
Right.
But they realize that, oh, my goodness, my balance is affected.
Mm-hmm.
That's the drinking and driving part of it. Recently in the news, it big time in the last 5 years, started maybe 10 years ago, but as the states began legalizing or decriminalizing marijuana, we found that we don't have any effective ways to test that. Has there been any improvement in that for law enforcement to find out other than blurry eyes and
bad smell? We do have something called a drug recognition expert, so a DRE. So these are special officers who have had extra training in identifying impaired driving rather than just alcohol related. But they can, so if a DRE is called to the scene, then they suspect that there's more than one substance. But typically, if they've had alcohol, then they test for that, and then if they're over the limit, then they just go with that because it's easier to prosecute. But if a DRE also says that this person's impaired, then they will order a blood test. But that blood test just says, yes, that substance was in that person, but it doesn't say, like, how long ago that person used it or how much
or
is
how
in
much?
The, yeah, it's just, it's not.
We're that far behind?
We are. They're trying to do, like, a marijuana breathalyzer. But again, marijuana is different. It stays in your system a lot longer because it stores in your fat. So it's really hard to get that that pinpoint. That
you good old boys listen to that.
I know, it's hard. But they can pull you over. They're going to use their dash cam to see that you were driving unsafe. And then they're going to go through all the steps. And then there's extra steps for a drug recognition expert. But again, if that person has been using alcohol and they're over the limit, that's what they'll probably use in court.
That's going to supersede the other. And the DRE is largely a physical examination,
correct,
right? Like it's, let me look at your eyes.
Yes.
Let me trace your eye movement. Let me, I don't know, dry mouth. I don't know don't know how far it goes.
I'm not sure what all the rules are. I know the SFST or standardized field sobriety testing, but I'm not sure about the drug recognition, what all they go through.
I know part of what they look for is the nystagmus of the eyes, because the nystagmus for alcohol is different than the nystagmus for uppers.
So. Okay.
That has to do with your eye movement.
Okay. And I so a long time ago on the station, I did a show called The Car Show that was just an idiot hour. But one of the things that happened during that time, 10, 12 years ago, was Colorado legalized marijuana. Mm-hmm. So they got a task force together, and they operated a closed course. Mm-hmm. And they had, like, I don't know, 15 people that they introduced marijuana into their system. And the people had various,
potencies?
I mean, they had a pothead going to the University of Colorado.
Right.
And they also had a, 45-year-old person who had never used it before in their life. Okay. The interesting thing about the finding was that no one really did horrible.
Right.
Okay. They made it. But the ones that had it in their system the strongest apparently drove just like, they're fine. But that's misleading, isn't it?
It's very misleading. And so that's called a green lab. And we're not allowed to do those in Texas just because...
It's a closed course.
Yeah. Well, we still aren't because it's not legal... It's not a legal substance in Texas, so we can't
marijuana
to someone to say, hey, I want to see how you drive on this. But we do that actually with alcohol. We use volunteers to do a course like that. And most of the time, it's actually officers that are training, and then they do the standardized field sobriety testing with those folks. It gives them an opportunity.
Do drunks do better?
I'm curious.
I don't know. Because I've always, a late friend of mine who's not with us anymore, convinced me not to take the back roads on weekend nights. And I was like, and I don't take the back roads anyway.
Right.
But I was like, why? He says, that's where all the drunks are. He goes, the drunks stay off the main roads because they don't want to get pulled over or stopped.
Yeah.
So they take all the side roads, which is scary.
Yes.
When you think about it, the side roads are two lane.
Right.
With much less margin of error.
And we do see a lot more, we would call them rural sort of fatalities. People taking back roads, like if you're driving to ARP or something like that, you're more likely to have in those two lane highways, those crashes. Yeah. People who do have alcohol substance use disorder, they probably do know where the Tyler PD hang out on the weekends. I know because they get funding to go to certain spots around the area.
Keep that under our hats. I don't know.
I
appreciate the lack of knowledge. It keeps me honest.
It's you need to be careful anywhere you drive in Tyler if it's after dark. But honestly, there are a lot of people who drink too much the night before, and they're still impaired in the morning driving to work. So you just have to be alert.
Years ago, there was an incident, I believe, in White House or Troop, one of the two, where it was time for kids to go to school, and there was a crash. It was either a crash or she drove off the...
Let's drill down on that for a minute, because that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So as we're coming up on a holiday, because that's probably when it's... most likely to happen. Okay. So let's say I'm irresponsible and I go out tonight tonight. It's the eve of tomorrow. Yeah. Why not? Mm-hmm. So I go to Rick's and just stay for hours, and I have a designated driver. Mm-hmm. I get tucked in. I go to sleep. I sleep it off. I get up and want donuts.
Yeah.
What would your, after 8 hours of sleep, if you had a blood alcohol level, you're not going to be able to stand up past like 0.1 or 1.1 and a half or something, right? Like, that's just hammered.
Probably. Okay. Depending on if they drink a lot, like regularly, if they have built up a tolerance. But an average person, that would not be a good thing.
That would be, I'm getting a cab, I'm going home, I'm going to
sleep. Correct,
So you do that, and you're saying 8 hours later...
So on average, what my latest data says is 1 hour per drink. So if you had eight drinks, it's going to take 8 hours for you to sober up.
Yeah. The human body burns 0.015% alcohol out of your body every
0.15.
hour.
Yes. Okay. So can you help me? I'm so bad.
I know.
No, this drives me crazy. Hard.
Ten hours would be 0.105.
Okay, so if you, I can do the 10 thing, but I'm curious about, like, so if it's 0.08 is the legal limit at processing alcohol at that rate, so could you effectively go out and responsibly over a 2 hour dinner, okay, have a drink and have already processed that by the time it's time to go?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I really hope that when I talk to you guys that I bring across, first off, how absolutely dangerous drinking and driving is and how needless in this society with Uber and friends. And it's really, there's no excuse, frankly, at this point. But it does interest me to see, you know, can you go to Rick's for dinner, have a chicken fried steak, all the veggies, a dessert, and two beers, and be there for 2 hours with your significant other or friends or whatever, and be okay to drive home? But your assessment is just don't do it at all. And I'm wondering,
that's just our organizational stance is just, and even we have a partnership with the NFL and their campaign is Decide to Ride. So if you know you're going to that bar and you're going to have some drinks, then just Uber there in the first place. And then Uber home. And then you don't even have to worry about it.
Are the kids getting that? Because I sense they are.
I think they're starting to, and I'm really glad that Uber did change the age limit, because before that you had to be, I believe, 18 and up, and now I've seen commercials online and stuff that kids can now use Uber under, their parents' account. Yeah. So that is an option.
Oh, that is very helpful. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that. You'd have to be 21 to get in an Uber.
That's changing.
The kind of stuff, that's what I think we need to look at to help it. Because if the kids are willing to Uber.
Right.
You know, they're fine with it. Hell, most of them don't care if they drive at this point. Most of them can't drive a stick.
Yeah.
So that's the best help is just these kids have to rent a car when they go out drinking and it's a stick and we leave it at the restaurant.
Yes.
And if you can make it out of the parking spot, put it in reverse, you're good.
Absolutely.
No, it's a horrible idea.
No.
Why I'm not an elected official. But I that's what I wonder in the age of Uber, because my girlfriend and I, we use Uber a lot. When we're on vacation, we use it almost exclusively.
Right.
Because we want to go out and celebrate, not necessarily get stupid,
right,
but just celebrate and relax. I mean, life is stressful, and sadly, alcohol and other things, to some degree,
it's a depressant.
It's a depressant.
Yeah.
Well, that just mitigated my whole argument of what I was about to say. At what point does alcohol become a depressant? The second you drink it? Because that doesn't... I don't see a lot of depressed people at Rick's at 11 o'clock.
Well, no. It means that it just slows everything down. It slows your heart rate, your breathing rate. Okay. And so you feel more relaxed.
Not your euphoria.
No. It makes you feel more relaxed. And so, So if you're using that Uber, then you don't even have to worry about getting home safe, because you know it's going to happen because you have someone else who hasn't been drinking at all. I just worry that someone, even if they've had one drink, they drive home. Tyler, drivers are terrible. And they get into a crash. I'm sorry, but it's true. And then that alcohol is in your body. So, it just could be a dangerous situation and a costly one.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but in the calendar year of 2024 so far, how many of our Smith County residents have died in an accident?
So we don't have accurate information for 2024. We're always just a little bit behind. But I do have some information as far as 2023. So let's see. So This is for the Tyler District, which is how TxDOT puts it. So it's Anderson, Cherokee, Gregg, Henderson, Brest, Smith, Van Sant, and Wood. There were 14,116 crashes, and there were 209 fatalities and 825 serious injuries. So those are not all alcohol related.
Oh.
Yeah. Those are just in general.
Oh, my goodness.
But so in the but there were 657 DUI alcohol related crashes, and that resulted in 46 fatalities and 106 serious injuries. So that's 46 families who maybe don't have that person to celebrate with anymore. Do you want to say something?
I am currently working with 51 new victims. New means they've never been in our system before. And that's just since, that's just since October 1st of last year. And then I have an ongoing caseload of 88 victims that I work with. You know, and that's a lot.
What's a typical reaction of a victim of a DUI crash? Like the someone that what the other side, not the driver, but the people they hit. Is that what you're talking about? Some of the people you counsel?
The people that I'm
the victims.
They're right. The remaining family members that are left. You know,
survivors.
Okay,
yeah.
Exactly.
Survivors, yes.
I realize the serious nature of this question. A sense of loss, obviously, they would have trauma.
Yeah.
Is something they would have. But is there something that sticks out to you that is consistent throughout all of them?
Sadness and anger.
Anger. Okay.
Anger is a big one. And anger is the one that tends to get you through the trials, you know, if there is a trial. You know, sometimes we don't have a trial because sometimes the offender is killed as well. And then that family has no justice whatsoever in their eyes. So you've got the anger, you've got the sadness. The sadness never goes away. It comes and goes. Further on you get in that journey, but it's always with you. So
I have family members, like I think my great-grandfather killed someone in a DUI accident, and he lost his son in a DUI accident by another drunk driver hitting his son, you know.
Yeah.
So it was I don't know how I would be angry. I do know how I would feel.
Yeah.
I would be pissed
angry.
Off. Yeah. So we want to Uber on the holidays and anytime that
really,
we're out.
Anytime you want to go out celebrate and you know that you're going to possibly drink a drink or two, it's best just to go ahead and, I mean, it frees you up so that you can celebrate and not have that worry, like, how am I going to get home? Because sometimes our brain also tricks us and makes us think that we're okay to drive home, and we're really not. Because, again, looking across the room, we're not doing anything, but our vision is affected to the fact that that it may not be safe for you to drive home.
I look in the mirror every day and tell myself how good looking I am. So you can tell yourself anything. You know what I mean? You can just absolutely tell yourself anything. As we begin to wind this down, I want to remind you guys of the extra topic we spoke about today. So when you hear us say alcohol on the show, just take alcohol, marijuana, drugs, mm-hmm. whatever it is, whatever you choose to relax with, don't be so relaxed behind the wheel. No one wants you relaxed behind the wheel. We want you alert behind the wheel. So whatever you're doing, don't do it if it's illegal. That's the first thing I want to say. But if you find yourself in that position, have a little sympathy for the rest of us. Be bigger than your world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's what I would. What advice? What closing advice? What words of wisdom do you have to keep us in line?
Well, so we call it impaired driving more now, because that does include all three categories, and we know that you are 50% more likely to get in a crash if you've used marijuana that rather than someone that's sober. That is actually
50%.
So
huge.
Yeah. So it's not worth taking that chance. So if you're going to celebrate in some way or fashion. We just want you to plan ahead and just use that safe ride or that safe friend, or even just stay where you're going to be for however many hours. It's hard to calculate with marijuana, so it's best just don't plan on driving.
Celebrate, get an Uber, and go home.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And be safe. That kind of sums it up. I thank you both so much for sitting with me today. I hope the audience that's listened to it and maybe this format understands that there's choices they can make that aren't going to hurt other people. Thank you so much for Matt, and the URL one last time.
www.madd.org.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.